Okay, so I'm Sarah, I know most of you, but for those of you I don't know, I'm not a teacher or a priest here, I'm just a practitioner, and I was a resident here at ACZC for 3 years, from August 20th to last July, and I realized recently that January was the 5-year anniversary of the first time I walked into Angel City Zen Center and started practicing with this awesome group of weirdos, and at that point I had been practicing meditation for about 10 years on and off. I first learned with a Shambhala group, and then I like didn't meditate very much at all. And then I basically went back and spent a couple years sitting with a group led by a secular mindfulness teacher. And I came here because that teacher moved away, and I realized that number one, I needed to meditate, and number two, I could really only do it consistently if I was practicing with a group. And what I knew about meditation at the time was that I just felt better if I meditated a lot. I kind of always had lots of struggles of the mind. Like I always felt like I was kind of at war with myself, very self-critical, history of recurring episodes of depression, all this stuff. And so even when I first learned to meditate, that idea that thoughts are just thoughts that come and go was like a instant kind of game changer for me. But that was just the beginning. And when I walked in here, I knew that the practice worked and I knew that it was about that, but I knew it was about something bigger, but I didn't really know why. So what I'm going to talk about today is some of the ways that practicing Zen has changed me, which is something we never talk about. And if you've been sitting with us for a while, you know that we kind of orient around this idea of goalless practice. I mean, this is a Zen thing, the idea that we're just practicing to practice, not because we're expecting to get anything. But the truth is that practice does do something to you. So I want to talk about what it did to me. And I thought I'd anchor this talk in Bendoa, which is a piece of writing by Dogen, who's the patriarch of the Soto Zen school, which is what we practice here. This is a text that was written in 1231. And it's something that he wrote when he first returned from China, bringing Zen back to Japan, as kind of an intro to why practice Zazen, or what Soto Zen practice is, which is oriented around Zazen. So I'm going to read you a little bit from this translation from Brad Warner's book, Don't Be a Jerk. Okay. Every Buddhist ancestor has practiced upright sitting in the midst of samadhi, of receiving and using the self. Every single person who followed the way in India and China did this stuff. So that's what they taught people. Real Buddhists all say that Zazen is the best thing ever. From the first time you learn it from a teacher, you never need to burn incense, do prostrations, recite Buddha's name, or read sutras anymore. Just sit and get the state that's free of body and mind. If one person sits Zazen, being right in body, speech, and mind, for just one moment, the whole universe enters this state. Every living thing becomes clear in body and mind at the same time, and they all experience the greatest freedom. It makes all Buddhas increase the joy surging up from the original source and renews their enlightenment. Every being everywhere together realizes themselves and experiences enlightenment. Anyone who practices Zazen directly enters directly into the state and receives the imperceptible mutual assistance of all things in the entire universe. Everybody shares in the benefits thus produced. The perception of those individuals who practice Zazen never interferes with the reality of Zazen. It doesn't matter if you notice all this wonderfulness or not. This is because in the quietness, with nothing to accomplish, there is only direct experience. This realization takes place in the stillness of the self-receiving and self-using samadhi. In Japanese, this is called jijiyo zanmai, hence the name of this section, and doesn't disturb so much as a single speck of dust. If we were to divide Zazen into two parts, practice and experience, we could consider each part separately. We could say that we practice in order to achieve enlightenment, but your perceptions cannot be the standard of enlightenment because deluded human sentiment cannot reach the standard of enlightenment. Basically, you cannot know your own enlightenment because whatever you call enlightenment can't be enlightenment. The experience of Zazen is eternal. It's the same for everyone. We touch the deepest experience of all human beings throughout history when we allow ourselves to be truly quiet. If all the countless Buddhas throughout space and time used all their infinite Buddha wisdom to try to calculate the merit of one person sitting zazen, they couldn't even come close. So, pretty big deal, zazen. And this is an expression of one of the fundamentals of Zen, which is that we are perfect just as we are, no matter what we think about ourselves and no matter how we feel about it. And so all we have to do is just sit and be and experience life as it is, moment after moment. And this idea that practice is itself enlightenment was a big transformative thing for me, because it seems like it's a selfish act in some ways, like you're just sitting. It's you doing the sitting, but it actually is about all beings. So coming to this practice, I was so used to this idea that I had to do the right things to be a worthy human being and that others did too. And all of that was just tied in stories about how I thought I should be or how I thought others should be. And I think what this text is saying is just about being with what is true right here and now, and not my ideas about how everything should be. The other thing about zazen is it's a practice you could just come back to over and over and over, which is what we do here. You may have seen on our website or here, it's set around here, ACZC is for beginners only. And it's because that is what we all are, even if we've been practicing for years. We get caught in our thinking and then we just come back to what's happening right now. That's it forever. No big deal. So I'm going to read, I actually read that because what I really wanted to read was Norman Fisher's talk or some comments from Norman Fisher on Bendoa. So Norman Fisher is a teacher that lives up north. He's got an organization called Everyday Zen, and he's just a writer of lots of books, a teacher I really admire, a writer I really admire. These are his comments from a talk he made on Bendoa. The Bendoa was an early polemical text arguing for the primacy and supremacy of the essential practice of zazen. Zazen not as a yogic technique, but zazen as a symbolic manifestation of ultimate reality. It is very interesting that this practice, which in a way involves so much effort, becomes, oddly enough, fundamentally a zazen of faith. We make effort to get somewhere and to achieve something. But Dogen says the achievement is just the faith that right now, right here, from the first moment of zazen, liberation is already manifested. Having confidence and trust that we are all of the nature of liberation and awakening. So the practice of zazen becomes the practice of settling our hearts with this trust, allowing trust in our own awakened nature to come forward because it is already there. So this really is an important thing. It's not that we have to make something happen, that we think something is wrong with us and we've got to change that to improve. That is not the case. We are, each one of us, a manifestation of the perfection of reality. Each one of us is a different locus and a different expression, unique and unrepeatable, an absolutely necessary expression of the perfection of reality. That is the fact. And yet, if we don't practice, if we don't, by our intention, manifest this, even though it is so, it won't really appear in the world as it should. So in other words, it's a dialectic. We don't have to make it happen, but unless we release ourselves to it, not only will our own lives not be complete, but we will have prevented reality from fully manifesting itself through our lives. So again, this teaching extremely revelatory to me, just this idea that we're perfect as we are, but that in order to be who we are, we can't just sort of sit around. We actually have to actively get rid of the notions that keep us from what that is. So very radically different from my background. I grew up Catholic, and it's like the total inverse of that, where you're born with this idea of original sin, and you've got to remove that so you can be something good. And this is more like, nope, you're already fine. You just have to shed all the reasons that you don't think that that's the case and really pry into that, which is work of zazen will do that. Lots of things will do that. I'm going to keep reading from Norman Fisher. What Dogen is pointing to here, if you think about the implications of this, is that human beings have an obligation and requirement. That's why no matter how far away we get from it, we all have some spiritual longing inside of us, because we all know on some level that we have this job as human beings. And we have this job not only in relation to ourselves and our happiness, but in relation to the rest of the world. It's as if the whole world depends on each one of us to be fully ourselves and fully manifest our practice and our truth. The world depends on each human being to come to his or her own and manifest this truth, not just for themselves or for their friends, but for the whole world. So there is a tremendous sense of mission here, a meaningful mission in a human life. And to realize this goal, we don't have to do heroic things because we already are the goal. All we have to do is release ourselves to it. But that takes intentional effort on our part, not to produce something that isn't already there, but to simply get out of the way, to get unstuck from ourselves so we can allow what we are to manifest itself for everyone's sake. It's a beautiful thing, don't you think? So yeah, again, like this practice of giving up on trying to make myself anything else has been so helpful for me. And it took me it's been years that it took me to really kind of understand and truly believe it. And I think it's just lots of zazen and paying attention to whatever is currently happening in my body, in my mind. I spent so long just trying to contort myself into shapes that I thought that the world wanted me to assume in some way or another, that I thought other people wanted me to assume. And stopping doing that just made everything totally different and made my life a lot easier, which is not to say it didn't result in lots of hard conversations and hard decisions, but they were based on what was true for me, but not based on what any idea of how I thought I should be. So that's just brought me so much clarity. And I still tie myself in knots mentally all the time. I mean, this morning was a rough one, zazen wise. It was like, okay, here's the opportunity to practice what this practice is over and over. But it's why we kind of practice. It's like you just keep doing it, and I'm more able to catch myself. Maybe I catch myself a little bit sooner than I might have before. Or maybe I don't, and maybe I just do eventually catch myself and come back and remember why I do this. And you know what? I think what I've found in zazen, and I think this is pretty true, is that when you're doing this in zazen, you start to do it everywhere in your life. So it comes out in work, it comes out in your relationships, it comes out in conversations. It's weird. People don't believe this about me because I'm pretty outspoken, but I do avoid conflict. I'm somewhat conflict avoidant, and I want to make people happy, you know? So it's like if someone I care about really wants something and I have to tell them no because of me, that's tough for me. But I think from this practice, it just became easier to see that if I can't just meet something head on, then I'm just kicking the can down the road. So it's might as well do it now. But that's been a big change for me. All right, I'm gonna read this last bit from Norman Fisher. He says that, "I think that with all these complicated words, Dogen is talking about something that is really very simple. In a way, you could say that what all this amounts to is that zazen is just returning to ourself, returning to the simplicity of being alive. That's really what it comes down to in the end, without anything extra, without all our complications, without adding anything, just to sit with no effort and just to appreciate the feeling of being alive that we share with everything that is. That's all there is to it. And when we do that, when we allow ourselves that, there's a tremendous healing power in it. And that really does transform our lives. There's a kind of faith one has in that." That's really so. So yeah, I mean, I think what's changed for me, the main thing that I can point to over 5 years is that I just have this unshakable faith in life and that whatever is happening at any given moment is okay. And it's not a faith in anything. It's not like a faith in, I believe in God kind of faith. It's more just like a faith that life is enough. Life is fine. And I really think before lots of practice, me was just a very insecure person, constantly questioning myself, constantly looking for other people who could tell me the right way to do things or the right way to live, constantly thinking everybody else had it figured out and that if I could just do what they did, I would too. But I think it's not like that. I think what ends up being exciting and making this work lifelong is that it's just about discovering what's true for me. And no one can do that work for me because no one else is me. And that also, and here's where it starts to get bigger, and I'm not going to talk that much about it, but maybe we can in the Q&A, is this not something I decided to be. Like, I'm not making myself. I'm just realizing and noticing and responding to what feels right to me. And there's something much bigger that's driving the boat. So I'm just a conduit, which really means that I can just let go. And that's, again, zazen is, you know, if I'm confused, if I'm angry, if I'm scared, if I'm sad, if I'm worried, I could just let go and just come back to right now, which is what I was doing a lot of this morning because I was all of those things. And yeah, it's like overall, I'm just so much more relaxed just in this knowledge that I don't have to figure anything out. It's just the removing and staying true and just knowing all I really ever have to do is the next right thing and just coming back to right now again and again. And when I do that, I'm happier. I'm more at peace, even though it's not easy, but it definitely makes me easier to be around for other people. And that's better for me, but it's also better for everyone. Yeah. I feel like I have a lot more to say than that, but that's what came out today. I'm happy to answer questions about whatever, but I'm also curious about what you feel like practice has done or is doing for you, no matter how long you've been here.
Thank you for the talk, Sarah. I definitely relate to a lot of what you're saying. It's sort of like the metaphor that came to mind while you were talking was like, for me, I feel like the process of Zazen, it's like looking at myself like this sort of knotted ball of yarn. It's like the passage you read, I feel like, could be taken in sort of like an idyllic way, like we're perfect exactly the way we are. And I have a lot of friction with that for all sorts of reasons. But it's to look at the knotted ball of yarn and to see that as perfect, even though it's knotted, you know what I mean? And I think like through the process of that, you can sort of tease it out and it becomes looser and like more fluid and stuff. And I feel like that's certainly like what I've been getting out of this practice. It's just like spending time. Like when I first started sitting in the mornings here, I mean, some days it's just like, I don't want to be up. I don't want to be here. And I remember asking Dave, I just want to be asleep. Should I even be doing this? This like, doesn't seem like great. But he was like, you should see what you're like when you want to sleep. You know what I mean? And see what you're like when you're pissed that you're awake. And it's, you really get to know yourself that way.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I mean, it's funny because I totally get that knotted metaphor. I felt like that was another thing. I just felt like I had the black mass inside and it was like, what do I even do? And I think coming back to that idea of feeling like it's an exploration, that's what ends up, I think, long-term being fun, is that then you start to see a knot and you're like, oh, what's going on here? What is this knot? Which, again, not fun necessarily, but it is kind of an exploration of sorts. And that being its own kind of interesting thing to unravel, because it's also about everyone else. It was easier to meditate with a group, but it's also like you just see and hear over and over that everyone's untangling the same knots. So it's interesting to hear how Tanya untangles a knot versus how I do, and then what knots result later on. There's always more.
This year will be, I don't know, 4 years that I've been coming, I think. It's getting pretty close. I guess I'm hoping that all of this stuff that you've realized happens in the last year, because it hasn't been my experience this 4 years so far. I feel like maybe I'm more anxious than when I started because I'm more aware of the big ball of yarn that needs unknotted, and I can see myself, let's stretch the metaphor, trying to unknot it, but fucking up and creating more knots in real time.
Interesting, because you are working with the yarn, right? So it seems like there is a sort of untangling happen. You just haven't really untangled as much, maybe. I don't know. I actually am quite, I'm curious, when you came to practice, I just arrived in such a state where it was like, somebody help me, basically, which I know is not how everybody arrives to practice, but I'm curious how you felt. What made you start coming around?
I just was sitting on my own, like infrequently. I'd do a 6 month stretch every day and then another 6 months where I hardly do it at all. So then it was the Zoom that brought me around, really, because I was aware of Angel City. Maybe that's the difference. I didn't really have a problem I was working on. It was just when I could regularly sit, I felt a little bit better, and it's easier to sit with a group to keep you honest, I guess. I guess maybe that's the hidden byproduct of regular, like 4 years of regular. Oh, I have all these problems. So I'm coming at it from a different angle, maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I would say that it's like some things where it's like you become aware of something and then you're working on that. And then it's like, oh, but now I'm aware of this. So it's like just the layer shedding where it's like, I think for me, I do overall feel way more at ease because I've sort of accepted that there's always going to be another thing to unravel. And it's like, maybe some parts of the yarn, let's just run with this metaphor. Maybe some parts of the yarn are in straighter lines, but there's a lot to continue. And it's like untangling one knot. We're kind of talking, I was sort of saying before, it might result in another knot later on. So it's, I don't know. I think I'm glad this is a good clarifying question for me, because I think it's less that I've figured out. It's more that I trust that I can figure it out.
It's always good to be reminded that Zazen is just returning to our self-returned simplicity of being alive. I feel like when I started, there was definitely things that I wanted to like fix. And then I felt bad about wanting to fix that because it's supposed to be a goals practice. Mm-hmm. But that's probably pretty normal. Having like something which is really hindering you and suffering. That's mm-hmm. a big reason we allow us to come here. But that kind of idea was something that was helpful just being here. But then you hear more about this practice and you hear different perspectives and that gets maybe a little more complicated. And then you're like, well, what's being here? And what is here? And what am I? And it gets complicated. But it's interesting to notice like all the pointers that can come towards, like, I feel personally that I'm so conditioned to think of a point-to-point relationship of this is like a result kind of thing, and often forget a process. But all these different pointers can point towards a process of engagement. And we're sitting silently, probably not moving very much. So the traditional ways that we think and communicate is already changed. Mm. I think there's something powerful in that. It's interesting because it talked about this as like a metaphor. But like that is a metaphor of just sitting and quote unquote not moving and being silent. That's having faith in life. We're having faith in that way, symbolically, literally.
Yeah. When you're talking about engagement, I want to make sure I'm understanding you because I might not be. It's another way to just deal with reality.
I was thinking more like these different ways we talk about untangling knots or just being here now or all that. They're like different pointers towards a awareness of a reality that's already present. Hmm. So yeah. Maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, like the forcing oneself to sit still is still a struggle for me. I don't know. We were talking about earlier, like walking meditation, why that is some easier in some ways, but there's still another avenue for focus because then you really are moving and you have to focus on moving skillfully, like without hurting yourself or someone else or whatever. And so the sitting still, it does really kind of force your hand just to do stuff. I'll notice that if I don't sit for a while, I'll find myself just glossing over things. And so then you sit and you're like, okay, this can't be glossed over. Like, I just have to wrap my head around it. And I think that's the gradual untying of the knots, is that it does help you get to a place beyond where you were going to get on your own. I do think that conversations are helpful in this way, but it's still not the same because you can't get away from yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I really like this idea of perfection, that we are already perfect, and it kind of relates to this idea of self-compassion, which is a big part of my practice. And so it's this idea of whatever comes up for us, meeting it with compassion, and it's okay, it's all perfect, mm-hmm. it's all good, right?
Absolutely. I mean, self-compassion has been a huge, huge part of my practice as well. And even this morning, like what was coming up, I just was really groggy. We're in the middle of a retreat, so some of us have been sitting, this is our second since 5:30. And I was just noticing how self-critical I was. And it's related to me for what's going on in my head right now. It's related to moving out of the Zen house and my practice not being as consistent. And so I'm sitting here being like, you're giving a talk and you're not having an easy zazen. And maybe you haven't been sitting every single day for the right amount of minutes and blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of that coming up. So I'm having to just be like, it's fine. You're sitting right now. It's fine. And I think that's meeting yourself on the cushion thing, where it's just like, that person is there, that voice is there, that voice is probably never going to go away. Maybe it's lesser, or maybe I'm just a little bit more easily able to say, yeah, okay, whatever. There's a lot of other shit here. Where it's, for me, self-compassion, and I think what has helped me in that practice, but with where I think Zazen has been complementary to it, is that it's like, the depressive mind and the self-critical mind has a way of only seeing one thing, and it's, I'm a piece of shit, right? And so Zazen, it's, I'm a piece of shit, and this is happening, and this. And it's really widening the awareness that I can just see that, yeah, that naggy asshole is there, but it's not the only thing. And if I can just sort of acknowledge it, see it, okay, move on, that makes it a lot easier. But I definitely still have to do a lot of it, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing that I've kind of gleaned over the years is coming to grasp with the impermanence of the thing. With the impermanence of everything. And even the insights that you have in practice. They call it practice because nobody ever turns professional. Nobody ever turns pro. That even these insights that you have, I'm like, oh, cool. I'm done. I can get up. I can go. I've reached this. No, you got to get up every goddamn day
and do it every day. And do it every night. Because those experiences, those things that you learn about yourself, these insights that you have, eventually they kind of fade into the background and you're still here. And you will habitually repeat them anyway, but they begin to kind of lessen just a little bit. And in very imperceptible kind of ways that you don't even necessarily realize. Until, like you're saying, when you stop practicing regularly, then it's, oh, this crap again, really? And when you were talking about the ball of yarn analogy, to me, it's just like it's a cat playing with a ball of yarn. It's chaos because you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know what's going to happen, but you don't attached to it. And that's really key, because that kind of goes with impermanence too. You see all these things happening and sometimes you realize this is just my brain. It's just thinking. I'm just sitting here. I'm just thinking. And other programs that I'm in, people have issues with impulse control. Mm-hmm. And we all have impulses. Oh yeah, I'm really hungry now. I could eat. I could really use a drink right about now. But that's just a thought that you have. It's not necessarily true. I mean, your thought is true, but it's not true. So again, then it becomes this whole, like, the other thing of you can hold two opposing viewpoints and they're both correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know where I'm going with any of this, but
no, that was wonderful. And I'm so happy that you took the yarn metaphor and kept going. Because it's true and it's perfect and it's impermanence. Yes. What does it mean? It means that literally nothing is ever the same moment to moment. And so a knot today might not be a knot tomorrow, which becomes a different knot next week or whatever. And it's like the work is to still try to untangle it, but with the knowledge that it'll never be fully untangled. Yeah, I respect that a lot. And I really appreciate how you brought up, like, just because you have an insight doesn't mean it's embodied forever. Because that is another, I think, the longer you practice confronting reality is that you're like, God damn, I was on it last summer or whatever. And now I'm like this twitchy, poor impulse control human. But I do think you're right also is there is a loosening and it's my level of awareness now where I'm like being really mean to myself. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to stop doing that. Or, you know, my brain's going to stop doing that. But it's, at least I'm like, there's some small layer of remove that allows for some choice or difference of choice to occur. You know, it's like practice. But I do, you know, coming back again, I do trust life and I do trust the practice. And I think that has been the biggest change for me is to stop feeling like I should have it all figured out. And also stop believing that anyone else does and really, in fact, finding it a deep red flag if they claim to. Yeah.
This was awesome. Thank you. It feels like coming home. I feel like when you explain how you were, when you got to do your, what was it? Your practicum here, whatever you call
residence.
It. Yeah. And I had something similar happen during COVID where what we just read, like, actually struck true. I was like, I'm sitting and it's doing good in the world, even though we're not going out of our houses, even though this isn't happening. And I kind of had that little moment of the light bulb going on and everything was peaceful. And I knew that everything was going to work out. And then my downfall has always been time. I can feel that way for a while. And then you kind of hit a limit where you're like, okay, but things should be better now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that time frame comes in. So I'm going through unemployment right now, and it was kind of the same thing. I tried to be really, really zen at the beginning, and everything's gonna be great. And then capitalism came in and was like, you are a piece of shit, you're unworthy, you're never gonna find it. And now 6 months have gone by, 7, 8, and like you are just building, and all of those doubts and thinking that sitting and trying to find that inherent goodness is not enough. And so to read this and come home to that same idea, I see that as the ball of yarn that came up, because I can also get really fixated on fixing things. But if I can fixate on the one of that inherent goodness, I feel like everything else might unravel a little bit easier, as I've had this really tight knot around identity and worthiness and all of that coming up this year so intensely. And so thank you again for the talk, but it just feels like coming home. Like, just if we can just remember that, we're going to be okay. And so thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No questions. Just thank you.
Appreciate it. It made me think of, so my mom died last year, which anyone who's listened to my talks knows I talk about a lot, but I was really surprised by, in the time after she died, I had this like intense whiplash of self-hatred in it, which was like, I felt like it sort of came out of nowhere, but I think it was very much related to how much I was suffering in the wake of that loss and feeling like I've done all this practice. Like I should be, you know, it was a weird thing where I felt like I shouldn't be. And all these things were coming up and it was a difficult experience, but it was an interesting point of my practice also, just to see how, coming back to Patrick's point, you still have to practice and it all comes back. And the wisdom, it's like you take away something, but sometimes you have to learn. I mean, you always have to learn things again and again and again, but that's coming back to the simple faith in life. And we're just right here. And that's manageable. Like that's about all that's manageable sometimes.
Thank you for your talk, Sarah. I really appreciated it. I can say just a little bit about my experience of Zazen. So I've been friends with Dave for a number of years and through him, friends with Sarah. And so I had hung out here, but not for practice. And then I think like maybe a year and a half ago, I got really interested in, okay, well, I've done some mindfulness meditation, kind of in like a Western therapeutic context, and had always felt like it had sort of limited utility for me. And it's all about like utility. So I was like, but I felt like I was kind of missing. I was looking for sort of like access points to like the spiritual world. And I talked to Dave and he mentioned some different options and he was like, but you should come just check out Monday nights sometime. And because I grew up in a like sort of mainline Protestant situation, like a lot of people here are mainline Christian. But so I had some sort of skepticism about being back in like an organized kind of religious context. But so I started coming through on Monday nights. And as soon as I did, I was just like, oh, I could have saved myself like a lot of time and trouble like over the years. I was like 15 minutes in, I was like, oh my God, like just like staring at the wall. And I do get a lot out of the wall. And I know some people think it's crazy that we practice with our eyes open, but for me, like it definitely makes a big difference because I have my eyes closed. I'm like back in my head, my imagination, my thoughts and my feelings. But I'm looking at the wall and just really like, not that I don't still have contact with those other things, but it's a lot easier for me to just be in the present. And I sort of watched, and I was in a place where I was dealing with some suffering that had been going on for a few months and like processing feelings. And it was like, I just seriously watched everything just fall away and was like, oh, none of that was real. That was all just like a story I'm carrying around. And I've done like a lot of Western therapy over the years. And I was kind of like, oh man, not like I want my money back exactly, but like, you know. And so I started coming on Monday nights and I knew that Dave was leaving, but I kept coming when he left, and then you were moving out, but I kept coming when he was back because I loved it so much. And then I started doing it like at home if I couldn't come in. And then I started doing for the ongo period, like sitting every day. And then if I didn't sit, I was like, oh man, I wish I could sit. And I was always looking forward to it. And then with Dave getting ready to leave again, I learned how to bottom line on Monday nights. Mm-hmm. And that's been like stressful for me because there's a lot of multitasking involved. But I also, it's like community has been a big theme in my life and like being like there for community and taking care of that. But that, so it's sort of an opportunity also for me to practice the things that I deal with in my daily life while also like still practicing the Zazen. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now, is like working through that thing. But I think like this entire time I can say that Zazen has been like one of the only times that I know for sure I'm not wasting time. Like, the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm not like, when is this going to end? Should I be here doing this or whatever? I'm like, no, I'm good. Someone else is going to ring, unless I'm ringing the bell, but then I'm watching, you know. But the only other time I feel that way, I think, is like picking fruit from my fruit trees, where it's like, each one has to be ready to pick. And I know no one else is going to pick it. And if I don't pick it, it's just going to go to waste. But it's there and it's like ready to eat. And even if I don't eat it myself, someone, you know. And so it's just like picking one piece at a time. And no matter how long it takes, I'm like, no, this is exactly the right thing to be doing right now. And a lot has changed for me in the past year, not entirely because of Zazen, but in part because of it. And this morning I was sitting with a lot of joy and I was still having sort of normal, like, day-to-day thoughts come through. But I think, yeah, honestly, like, I've made better choices and I've watched myself become, like, more, have more compassion and ease with myself and with other people and with, like, my relationship with the larger world. And I turned 40 last summer. And so, like, I feel like a lot better than I did when I was 39, you know? And I feel like, I don't know, like, maybe I'm not getting better at life exactly, but yeah, just sort of, I feel like going through that, like, spiritual door and, like, finding this practice and this community has been just, like, just such a blessing for me. Even when now I'm here and I'm like, oh, I gotta sweep the floor and strain the tea and then I have to test the Zoom and oh, it's not working and blah, blah, blah. It's like, overall, I'm just like, thank God. Thank the goddess. Thank the universe. The emptiness. I like the emptiness a lot. That feels right.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. Thank you for sharing all of that. It's really beautiful. I feel the same way. I mean, I think also, I just think it's such a mysterious practice because I do think that, like, overall I have more clarity in life. You can't avoid meeting yourself truly, but I sometimes don't know why it works, even though a lot of these texts explain it, but it's just something's going to happen if you keep doing it.
So I started meditating about 25 years ago, and it was bringing me such peace. But I found that I became more sensitive to the environment around me. And I went in and out of deciding to do some meditation here and there. I tried all different types. And I came back to meditation for the purpose of finding the peace again. What I'm having trouble with right now is that I have vertigo now, and I can't stay still. I'm constantly swaying back and forth. My head is spinning all the time. Every time I get up and sit down, I'm dizzy. So how do I find the Zen now? Mm-hmm. When my head is moving around and I'm trying not to, so I know I can focus on a thought. But if this practice is to focus on nothing but yourself, what do I do about my body moving? I like the moving meditation a lot better. Mm-hmm. It's much easier for me. But the sitting is now becoming a problem.
Mm-hmm. Great question. And it's not so much about the stillness. The stillness helps because we're just trying to create a canvas where we can see what our thoughts are. So if your reality is that you can't sit still, you're really just trying to come back and see what's here. So it's, I'm noticing I'm moving around. I'm noticing I can't sit still and trying to find a way to be okay with that and less trying to force yourself. This is when we're talking about just being okay with whatever is present. So for me, having this, whatever it is, I'm angry, I'm critical of myself, I feel bad about something I did, whatever. Trying to come to peace with that. Maybe there's something for you in trying to come to peace with the fact that you can't sit still.
That's going to be hard, but I will try. Thank you for understanding that the stillness doesn't have to be there. Excellent. Because,
exactly.
I mean, I had to stop my Tai Chi. I had to stop my yoga because of this. And I'm trying to find out where I can get my peace again. So we'll try. We'll figure it out somehow. My head will stop talking. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I find it a process of surrender. I can't change my thoughts. They're just going to do what they're doing. Thanks, everyone.
I want to take a cup. I couldn't hear a word that's there, for sure.
Well, it was perfect, Dave. Obviously.